Well, good morning. Today we're going to look at 1 John 3:16 through 24. And the title of the sermon is A Spirit of Service. And what we're going to or how we're going to approach this or how we're going to look at it is basically love is having a spirit of service. And we have to do that in a certain way because our definition or our culture's definition, or maybe it's even just the English language definition or word for love, is much different than the words that the Greek language used for love. And so that's kind of the aspect we're going to look at things this morning, that love, biblical love, is having this spirit, this innate desire to serve others, to meet the needs of others. So I want to ask the question. I want to start with the question. Do you have that? Do you do anything for other people? And I'm not just talking about saying hi, walking down the street. I'm talking about when you feel this and sense the Spirit telling you that this person has a need, go take care of it. Do you do it? Are you willing to do it? Or are we completely opposite of that and so self-centered that we're only worried about ourselves? And we can get into some nasty things there. But Christians, as we're going to realize today when we're talking about biblical love, Christians must love others, not just other Christians, but love all people with actions and in truth. And if we separate them, or we don't fulfill both sides of that, actions and in truth, we're not meeting the love, the biblical love that we're talking about here. So what is love? In the English language, maybe it's the language, maybe it's our culture, maybe it's just how things have changed, but the word love in our language is very cheap. It's used in different ways that really, in my opinion, and this part is my opinion, that cheapen it down. Love can mean, hey, brother, how you doing? Good to see you. Love you, man. It can be that bond between a woman and a man in marriage, the spousal relationship. It's also the same term we use for our relationship to God. But it's also the term used for sexual relations, too. And it was very different than the Greek terms they used for love. And those terms were, and there's four, but I'm only going to talk about three today. And the first one is what John was talking about today in love, and that's agape love. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. And also, my pronunciations in these is not exact because I'm no Greek scholar, trust me. But the second one is phile, and the third is eros. And those are the three terms we're going to look at just a little bit today. But eros is this love that is a sexual attraction towards someone else, towards another person. So they had a different term where we don't in English to separate that one out. Phile is general friendship. You know, you see people walking down the street, you know them. Hey, you care about them just enough to say hi, ask how life's going, and if they say things are tough, oh, I feel bad for you, and you keep on walking. It's that caringness, but it's not taking it to the next level. It's not really getting in there and genuinely helping and meeting the needs of that person. And the third one is agape. And that's what we see in today's passage. I'm going to read it here in a minute, but that's the word John used in every instance in today's passage talking about love. And not only did he use that term, but he also in the passage worked a little bit about defining it. So I'm going to read now First John chapter 3, 16 through 24. There we go. Sorry about that. This is how we know what love is. He's defining love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words of tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Four times we see the word love in those few short verses. Four times. And that is the agape love that we were talking about earlier. Verse 16, we know love because Christ died for us, willing to die for us. That is agape love. And this agape love that Christ died for us was not just us, but for all, for everyone. And this is something that we struggle to grasp as Christians. We are not just Christians, but more our moral compass in life. We tend to want to put certain sins a little less than others. You know, when you're talking murder or just a little white lie, we want to differentiate there. But Christ sees both of them as sin. And he died for both. He died for all of us, those that are living in sin, those that have been washed by the blood. Agape love is giving everything. And that's what Christ did for us. But it's more than just giving everything. It's a willingness even to give everything. It's recognizing that everything I have is a gift from God, and anybody that needs anything, I'm willing to help meet their needs, meet their basic needs. Now, if we get into to get so caught up in it that we're trying to meet everything in this world, there's so much going on that we can't do it all. But we can pay attention to the Spirit when he's nudging us, when he says to us that there's something there, that person needs us. We pay attention to that, and we go meet that need. And there's times that we're going to miss it, and we can repent. But agape love is being willing to get off our butts and go actually meet a need for somebody. And this agape love, the word that John used here, it's the same word that Jesus used quite often, and it's the same love that describes Jesus almost every instance in the New Testament. When it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that was agape love. That was agape love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, your body, your soul. That was the same term there. That is the love that John was talking about in these sections, in these verses. To love with that with every ounce of your being. But now we need to look at a little bit more how John described or defined love, and that's really in verse 18. And he tells us here to show this love, to do something to show this love. Dear children, let us not love with words, not just saying And I think the love with words is almost that phile love, where I care about you, man, how you doing, passing, walking down the street, but not actually getting in there and recognizing and meeting needs that God has asked you to do. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. There's two words there that are key. Action and truth. And some versions of Scripture use the word deeds there. It's kind of interchangeable. So as I was looking through these, I thought, them two words really jumped out at me. Because John is using them two words to define love. So I need to make sure that those words are accurate. And so I went through every different Bible I had. And so I got a list here of all the Bibles that use those two terms, either action and truth or deeds and truth. And so I'm going to read that list to you right now. Of course, the New International Version, the American Standard, the New American Standard, King James, New King James, the American Standard, the Amplified, the Derby Bible, the Douay-Rheims Bible, never heard of them, but apparently it's in there, English Standard Version, Holman Christian Bible, New English Translation Bible, the NRSV, the Noah Webster's Bible, the RSV, Today's New International Version, the World English Bible, and the Wooist Expanded New Testament. And those are just from the Bibles I have. Them two words are key. Action and truth in defining love. And so that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time today, this morning, looking at those two words and really what they mean. What they mean of us. And so agape love, part of agape love is love with action, a willingness to do things for other people. And like I said earlier, our society has really reduced, or maybe it's our language, I don't know, and we could debate that, it's no big deal, but has reduced the term love. Back then, it really had some teeth to it. It had different levels. And now we kind of mix it all together. And I do believe in the churches, we do a pretty good job of separating it. But in the secular world, I don't think it does separate well. But biblical love is to love with all you have, with every ounce and fiber of your being. Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, first, and I think it's in order for a reason. Love the Lord your God. Basically, it says, love the Lord your God with all you have. With every ounce of your being, God is first. Love him. Do anything he asks. Read his word. Spend time in prayer with him. And in order to do that, then we see the second part of it. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love others. And I think that order is very, 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 very important. To love God first with every fiber of your being. And in doing so, then the neighbor and all that falls into place perfectly. We are to do things for others out of our love for God. It's important. I heard a pastor talking once. And he shared this story about how he knew a man, and it was a friend of his that, and this story originates from Kansas, that was, this man was driving down the street, and he's seen this guy hitchhiking, and he's never picked up a hitchhiker before, but he sensed the Spirit saying, you need to help that man. You need to stop and pick him up. Now, personally me, that would make very nervous, picking up just some random guy walking down the road. Would make me very nervous, but the Spirit was nudging, and he listened. He picked this guy up, and he asked the guy, he said, come on in, get in, where are you heading? And this is in Kansas. He says, I'm going to Oregon. And the guy says, well, I'm not going that far, but I'll help you out as much as I can. So he gets to talking to this guy, and it turns out that this man was going from Florida to Oregon and didn't have any money and was hitchhiking to get there because if a few months earlier, he left. He walked away from his family and just left everything and moved off to run away from his life. And it turned out what had happened is things just fell apart. He had nothing left. But he was able to talk to his family, and they were making things work, and he was trying to get home to patch things up. And he was relying on others to get him from Florida to Oregon. And in my personal thinking, the only way that could happen is by God placing people along his path to help him out. Good Christian people. And so this man says, and this is, now it's getting late in the evening. So he says, well, I'll just take you to my house. We'll get you some food, get you cleaned up, and we'll figure out what we can do. So they get back there, and this guy's in the shower. And so the man that picked him up jumps on the computer and realizes there's a flight leaving in 45 minutes, books it, gets the man, puts him on that flight, and flies him the rest of the way home. That is listening to the Spirit. That is a heart of action. Loving God no matter what. Not worried about what it'll cost. Not worried about what you're going to get out of it in return. Doing things for God is nothing about yourself. It's meeting the needs of others for God. Because God has called you to. Love has nothing to do with worrying about yourself. And it's all about actions and doing things for other people. And if you only do things for yourself, if you only do things that I'll help this guy out because I know he has a lot of things and it can get me somewhere. That's not the love we're talking about here. That's not the love John is calling us to. That's not the love Jesus showed all throughout the New Testament. It's a selfless, selfless love. It's a selfless love. And agape love has another side to it as well. It's about action. It's about helping people. It's letting God use us to help people to meet their basic needs in life. But it's also, in verse 18, it says it's action and in truth, or with truth. And if we remove truth from it, if we remove the truth side of things, then we no longer have the love that Jesus taught us, the love that he showed while he was on this earth. We no longer have agape love. We no longer have it. If we do not speak in truth, if we don't live our lives in truth, we are not meeting what God has asked us when it comes to love. And we're not loving like Jesus showed us and like he loved. Not once in the Bible does it show that Jesus showed love to people without including the truth. And this is touchy because you got to be careful when it comes to truth, because we don't want to beat people over the head and say, you know, you're not following the words in here. You're going to hell. You're wrong. And what are we going to do when we do that? We turn them away. The woman caught in adultery, Jesus showed her love by being graceful to her, by meeting her needs, by sparing her life, but he also wasn't afraid to tell her to go and sin no more because she was ready to receive that. And that's the key when we share truth. We have to make sure, or we have to be listening to the Spirit and knowing when they're ready to receive. The rich young ruler asked Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of earth? Sell all you got. Get rid of it all. Give it to the poor. Jesus wasn't afraid to tell this guy that. He knew he wasn't going to do it, but he wasn't afraid to share the truth. The woman at the well. Every instance where Jesus witnessed and ministered to people, he was not afraid to share the truth. And when we talk about truth, it gets a little shaky at times, but biblical truth is biblical truth. We can't change truth. It's absolute. And I want to, I guess when I think of this, I kind of want to talk about raising children. Those of us that have raised children, some of you will get to in the future, but when you raise children, what's the first word they learn more than any other word? No. Thank you. No, right? Why do we tell them no? I think it's the word I say more than anything else at home. But why do we tell them no? Because we love them. But we're not afraid to be truthful to them. It's kind of the same lines. It's right along there. We tell our children no. We teach them things as they grow up, truth things. We teach them stuff because we want what's best for them. Because we love them so much, we will do anything for our children, and every one of us here would do anything for our children. But we're not afraid to tell them the truth. Sometimes it gets tough to do. Sometimes when our kids think they know what's best, but we have to hold fast because we have been there. We know a little bit more. It's kind of like telling your kid not to touch the hot fireplace. We know it's going to hurt them, but it just looks curious and they want to touch it. But when they do, they get hurt. We knew it. We got to share truth. And that can be a hard thing to do from time to time. To show love, to show true love, we must do it in action and in truth. And love. Love places this, God placed this love in our hearts. This love in our hearts, this spirit of service in our hearts to meet the needs of others. To meet others' needs. God could snap his fingers and everybody's needs would be met, but he chose to do it through his faithful servants, us. Christian love must include action and truth as we do what God has called us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray for each person here, Lord, that we can recognize when people are in need, Lord, when you're calling us to meet the needs of the least, to meet the needs of the hungry, the poor, whatever it is, Lord. Lord, I pray that our hearts can be such that we recognize when you're calling us to do things. And not only recognize, Lord, but be willing to selflessly sacrifice for you. And Lord, I also pray that we can understand and recognize what biblical true love is. And that we can live it out day by day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.